Okay, excellent. Here we go in 3, 2, 1. On today's Look into Agriculture, Farming in the Peace, McKenzie and Big Lakes regions, we have the privilege of speaking with our country's agriculture and agri-food minister, Madame Marie-Claude Bibeau. Welcome to the show, Minister. Great to have you on today.
I'm pleased to be with you.
Okay, first question, Minister. The government made some big investments in irrigation in southern Alberta last year, along with the province. I believe the federal government put in 2/3 of that. Could you tell us why irrigation is such an important investment?
Well, it is definitely having a better irrigation infrastructure will, for example, increase the irrigated acreage. It will definitely increase primary crop production. This is something that our producers, our farmers are really looking into. Improving water use efficiency, increasing water storage capacity. So there's really a multiple virtues to such a project, and we have to deal with more and more unpredictable and extreme weather events. So it could also help provide flood protection, and that would be protecting our other infrastructure and processing activity.
Yeah, definitely important up here, especially in the north. And Madam Bibeau, what were some of the most important accomplishments of the ministry in 2020?
Well, putting in place all the COVID emergency programs was definitely important. Many of them were around the foreign temporary workers. We know that labor is always a big challenge in our sector. But there was also other support to help farmers and food processors get their working environment and housing environment more safe for our workers. Some general program like the Canadian Business Emergency Account was also very important for the farmers, because if you look at the $20,000 that is not repayable, that could be not repayable, it could represent $1.7 billion in direct transfer to farmers.
Wow.
Obviously, moving forward with the supply management compensation was an important thing that we've done, and that is still in the process, and the BRM reform, so the improvement to agri-stability that I have put on the table and that I'm still looking for my prairie colleagues to join.
Yeah, I fully can appreciate that. And Minister, what are some of the goals of the ministry this year? What are some of the big things that the Agriculture and Agri-Food Ministry want to accomplish in 2021?
Well, obviously, finalizing the supply management and the BRM reform. These are things that are, that we've made good progress, but there's still a bit of work to do. But the big thing, I think, will be around the environmental program. In the fall economic statement, we've got around $350 million to put in place different type of programming around agri-environmental support. So obviously, as we are the federal government, there will be a lot of investment in research and innovation, but we also want to put a focus on getting more energy efficient technologies for grain drying and for barn heating, for example, and also in different ways developing best sustainable agricultural practices and making sure that the farmers have access to this new information and that they are, and also providing them more support in terms of accessing the new technologies that will be developed.
Yeah, definitely. I know technology for a lot of farmers is a very important topic and as well. But another important topic, Minister, is that I did reach out to farmers in our region when we started coming up with this program. I asked a lot of them, what is the top issue for them on their mind? And many of them mentioned international trade agreements either as their number one or number two concern that they have. Not concern, but something that they think about. Can you mention a couple of the key agreements we have with other nations? Like one example, I guess, would be the new NAFTA, for example.
Yes, of course, and the agreement with the European Union, and obviously the new NAFTA, but the CPTPP with the Trans-Pacific region that offers really very important opportunities for our pork and beef sector, but also for our grain producers. So this is, and actually 2020 was a record year in terms of exports. We've
Oh, wow.
reached $74 billion, and actually our goal was $75 billion by 2025. So these new agreements are already bringing important results, but we still have, you know, we are more ambitious than that, and there's a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, I know, and that kind of leads into my next question, Minister, because I recently read a story, I want to say in November, December, about Canadian beef exports being a major, and I mean a major hit in Spain. They're really loving our meat out there, apparently, and at a very generous price from what I was seeing. So my question is how much of your efforts are devoted to working on these new deals? I think you kind of mentioned that there's always more, and is it a priority of the government to keep on looking and trying to uncover those new export markets?
Absolutely, because the work doesn't stop once the agreement is signed. So in collaboration with the Minister of International Trade, Minister Ng, we are working hard to open up these new markets and to create new opportunities for our farmers to and food producers to connect with clients. And we have our trade commissioners that are posted in different strategic countries, and this is the type of support that we also provide in addition, obviously, to all the work that is being done by the Canadian Food Inspection Agency, because when we sign these agreements, it comes with plenty of rules that we are following up in terms of when the other products are getting to Canada, but that we have also to provide, for example, export certificates for our food to be able to be sent to other countries. So this is at another level support that we are providing to our producers, and actually we have increased the financing to CFI in a significant way this year and for the coming years, recognizing that we have to be able to provide these, amongst other services, but these export certificates to allow our very high-quality food to reach the other markets.
Oh, we do have high quality food, no doubt about it. I just by the prices that I was seeing on the in Spain for our steak, and you know what, if I lived out there, I'm biased, but I would pay it. I also have to say, I recently, and you kind of covered all this before, Minister, but I did speak with a farmer in Saskatchewan, and he's got a really cool app that he could use. He takes a strip of his greatest canola, and it'll come up with a grate in 10 seconds. I think you kind of covered it already about how the government is supporting these advancements in ag-related technology and innovation, because I think a lot of farmers feel that maybe when it comes to innovation, agriculture as an industry may be a little bit behind the others. Do you think that's a fair statement?
Oh, no, I think we've been investing, and actually since 2015 when we came into office, we have started reinvesting significantly in our research center, rehiring scientists, and this is something that we really believe in. And, you know, I think the farmers in your region particularly, they all know that canola was in fact developed by an AFC scientist. So this is a good example. And all the investments we are making around the superclusters, the protein supercluster is another example of our commitment to bring value added to our producers, because there's a lot of opportunities that we have in front of us and that we are investing in.
That's exciting, very exciting, and we're seeing a lot of them coming out slowly but surely. Minister, last month your ministry announced the consultation phase of a review of the Canada Grain Act. When was the last time it was reviewed? Why is it being reviewed? And I guess if you want to give us an idea, how important is it for farmers to send their feedback to make sure that their input's in on this?
Oh, the last time, I forgot the date, but we're talking about decades ago.
It really
needed to be modernized in a significant way. We remember that the previous government abolished the Canadian Wheat Board, and the legislation hasn't been amended to be coherent with this decision. And I'm hearing diverse vision, let's say, for the future of the commission. And I can tell you that I have absolutely no preconceived notions. And it's really, really important that farmers participate to this consultation. I really look forward to hear what they have to say and to understand the different views, and at the end of the day, I want to make decisions that will be based on science and really looking forward, you know, looking for having a vision of the future for not only the commission, but for the industry.
Okay, great. And I see I have a couple of minutes left here. And whenever we do have a guest on the station, we always like to tell them a little bit about their part of the country. And I tell us a little bit. You're, I believe, in the Sherbrooke riding. Tell us a little bit about your riding.
Yes, it's a Compton Stampstead. Actually, it's a part of Sherbrooke City. I have 36, actually a part of Sherbrooke City, as I said, and 35 rural municipalities.
Oh, wow.
About 450, I believe, dairy farms. Maple syrup, Christmas trees are also very important farms that I have in my area. And I would say a little bit of everything else. I have poultry and pork and beef and a lot of horticulture as well.
Wow.
So I'm really surrounded by farmers, and it's a beautiful region, the Eastern Township in the south of Quebec on the border of Vermont.
Yeah, I do miss the skiing there from when I used to live there. Madame Bibeau, Minister Bibeau, thank you so much for joining us today.
It was my pleasure. Take care.
This is Marie-Claude Bibeau. She is the Federal Minister of Agriculture and Agri-Food for Canada, and this is The Ag Show.